The prisoners lurched into one another as they landed in a country lane. Harry's eyes, still puffy, took a moment to acclimatize. Then he saw a pair of wrought iron gates at the foot of what looked like a long drive. He experienced the tiniest trickle of relief. The worst had not happened yet. Voldemort was not here. He was, Harry knew, for he was fighting to resist the vision, in some strange, fortress-like place at the top of a tower. How long it would take Voldemort to get to this place, once he knew that Harry was here, was another matter. One of the snatchers strode to the gates and shook them.
How do we get in? They're locked! Greyback, I can't! Blimey!
He whipped his hands away in fright. The iron was contorting, twisting itself out of the abstract furls and coils into a frightening face, which spoke in a clanging, echoing voice.
State your purpose!
We've got Potter!
Greyback roared triumphantly.
We've captured Harry Potter!
The gates swung open.
Come on,
said Greyback to his men, and the prisoners were shunted through the gates and up the drive between high hedges that muffled their footsteps. Harry saw a ghostly white shape above him and realized it was an albino peacock. He stumbled and was dragged onto his feet by Greyback. Now he was staggering along, sideways, tied back to back to the four other prisoners. Closing his puffy eyes, he allowed the pain in his scar to overcome him for a moment, wanting to know what Voldemort was doing, whether he knew yet that Harry was caught. The emaciated figure stirred beneath its thin blanket and rolled over toward him, eyes opening in a skull of a face. The frail man sat up, great sunken eyes fixed upon him, upon Voldemort, and then he smiled. Most of his teeth were gone.
So, you have come. I thought you would, one day. But your journey was pointless. I never had it.
You lie.
As Voldemort's anger throbbed inside him, Harry's scar threatened to burst with pain, and he wrenched his mind back to his own body, fighting to remain present as the prisoners were pushed over gravel. Light spilled out over all of them.
What is this?
Said a woman's cold voice.
We're here to see he who must not be named,
rasped Greyback.
Who are you?
You know me.
There was resentment in the werewolf's voice.
Fenrir Greyback, we've caught Harry Potter.
Greyback seized Harry and dragged him around to face the light, forcing the other prisoners to shuffle around too.
I know he's swollen, Mom, but it's him,
piped up Scabbier.
If you look a bit closer, you'll see his scar. And this here, see the girl. The mudblood who's been travelling around with him, Mom. There's no doubt it's him, and we've got his wand as well. Here, Mom.
Through his puffy eyelids, Harry saw Narcissa Malfoy scrutinising his swollen face. Scabbier thrust the blackthorn wand at her. She raised her eyebrows.
Bring them in,
she said. Harry and the others were shoved and kicked up broad stone steps into a hallway lined with portraits.
Follow me,
said Narcissa, leading the way across the hall.
My son Draco is home for his Easter holidays. If that is Harry Potter, he will know.
The drawing room dazzled after the darkness outside. Even with his eyes almost closed, Harry could make out the wide proportions of the room. A crystal chandelier hung from the ceiling. More portraits against the dark purple walls. Two figures rose from chairs in front of an ornate marble fireplace as the prisoners were forced into the room by the snatchers.
What is this?
The dreadfully familiar, drawling voice of Lucius Malfoy fell on Harry's ears. He was panicking now. He could see no way out, and it was easier, as his fear mounted, to block out Voldemort's thoughts, though his scar was still burning.
They say they've got Potter,
said Narcissa's cold voice.
Draco, come here.